Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the Retro Remix podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Welcome to the Retro Remix podcast. Today's guest is Jen Bennett. Jen has written a variety of genres, and her latest books are in the YA contemporary romance genre. Her latest is Chasing Lucky, which is a former's best friends to lovers romance. In this interview, we chat about her writing and her books. Before we get to today's interview, I want to share a bit about today's sponsor. Today's episode is sponsored by If the Boot Fits by Rebecca Witherspoon. Here's a synopsis of the book. From award-winning author Rebecca Witherspoon, a thoroughly modern take on the timeless tale of struggling Cinderella who finds her Prince Charming at the 11th hour and the adventure that ensues the morning after. Working as a personal assistant to one of the Hollywood's cruelest divas has left Amanda Queen more determined than ever to sell her screenplay and gain her independence. In the meantime, she'll settle for a temporary escape. When her employer is followed by the flu, on Hollywood's biggest night of the year, Amanda gets her glam on and struts the door and parties with the glitterati. But she never expects to come to face-to-face or closer than close with one of the hottest stars in the game. Following up his Oscar win with a steamy after-hour romp with an enigmatic woman seems like the perfect way for Oscar Sam Pleasant to celebrate. Until she suddenly disappears. Worse, she vanished with a wrong swag bag, the one containing his Oscar statue, leaving Sam more intrigued about the beauty identity, wondering if a brief performance of their amazing night is in the stars. And when a second chance encounter happens only a trip after family's family rent, and revealing the whole, not always glamorous truth about themselves, would give them a chance to turn one magical night into forever. I have to admit, this is like a fun cowboy series. Like, I read the first book and I really enjoyed it. And so this book is actually on my TBR that I'm about to read. And I'm like so into this whole Cinderella retelling. It's like, it sounds so good. And just like, there's Hollywood and there's cowboys. So this book is a must read. For more book recommendations, please visit KensingtonBooks.com. Now let's go to an area. Hi, Jen. Welcome to the Retro Next podcast.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am the author of over a dozen books, which makes me sound really old. but most of them are YA recently. But I also have written adult. I've written fantasy, urban fantasy, and historical paranormal romance. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing this for about 10 years. I'm also an artist, and I live in the Atlanta area with my husband and a couple of dogs, which you might hear in the background.
So. I love when dogs make an appearance. They're just add a little flavor to the show. So what inspired you to become a writer?
You know, I hear that question asked to other authors, and they always, have these great answers about how, oh, I've always dreamed of being a writer since I was like five. I wrote like stories, and I can honestly say that I had no idea I wanted to be a writer until I was in my 30s. Mm. And I like, it was not even on the radar for me. I went to school for art, for painting. And I was actually in the book business for a long time. I was a bookseller all over the country in different stores. And then I was in just different product development jobs. I did a lot of travel overseas in Hong Kong and China. And mm-hmm. I was then in a corporate job that I hated. Mm-hmm. I loathed this job, and I will not mention the company. But my boss at the time said, just out of the blue, to this group of girls who were working in a think tank. And he said, what would you guys do if you weren't doing this? And out of the blue, I just said, I'd be a writer. And I don't know where it came from. It must have been something that was way deep subconscious in the back of my head. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, okay. And I was like, I don't know where that came from. Mm-hmm. And then this was back around the time of the recession in 2008. Mm-hmm. And then shortly thereafter, like 2 weeks later, all of us got laid off. So at that time I was like, you know what? Maybe I'm going to try and write a book. Maybe I'm not going to look for another job. And that's mm-hmm. what I did. So, that's how it started.
So what was that journey to get that first book published?
It was a strange one. From there, I tried my hand at writing a book. I had no experience. I had no roadmap, no schooling, no nothing. Mm-hmm. I was just the girl at work who wrote the funny emails mm-hmm. that made everyone laugh. So I just tried. I was like, I like fantasy. I read a lot of books. I'm going to write this. Mm-hmm. So I wrote a book and then figured out how to get it in front of agents and queried a bunch of agents, and it was completely rejected. It was a terrible book. And I shelved that, but I just kept trying. I wrote another book, and another. I think it was the third book that I queried in about a year that I got my agent. And haven't looked back. She sold that book 6 weeks later. It got offers from multiple publishers, and that was my first book, Kindling the Moon, that was put out by Simon & Schuster. And it was urban fantasy, adult. And that was my publishing story. It was fast. It took me, I think, a year and a half to get agent, publisher. So I guess it was meant to be. I mean, I hear people struggling for years, and so I hate telling that story because I'm like, man, it happened for me fast. I don't know. I think that it must have been kind of the whole writing bug must have been sitting kind of dormant inside me for a long time, because once I started, I knew, like, this is it. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to do with my life. I do not want to do anything. I could not stop. Like, and it's been that way ever since. Like, it was like, don't take this away from me. This is what I need.
I love this. And you ran an urban fantasy, historical paranormal, mm-hmm. and now YA contemporary. What was the transition to do? I think my question is the transition to YA contemporary. Because mm-hmm. You found a niche there. You know, you have
great. I did. Yeah. And it wasn't actually my idea to switch over to that. It was my agents.
Really?
Yeah. Well, in my urban fantasy, I had, I had a family kind of situation, a group of characters in my urban fantasy. And there was a teen character in that. And it was kind of, he was well received by my readers. And my agent said, you know, everyone loves that character. And you've got a knack for writing teen characters. Have you ever thought about writing YA? And I was like, me writing YA? No way. I can't do that. And she was like, I think you really could. And you're really good at romance. Have you ever thought about writing YA contemporary romance? I think you could do it. And I was like, really? And she was like, I think you should try. And I thought about it for a while. And I was like, maybe I could just write a chapter. And then 6 weeks later, I had a book. Oh, it was just boom. Okay. This fits. I can do this.
Yeah. And you hit the nail. Like, you're able to write teenage love stories in a way that feels like they feel for adults reading YA, they feel good. They feel relatable. And I believe I imagine for teenagers, it might feel like, oh, okay. This could reflect my life. You know?
Oh, thank you. I enjoy writing them. I think that for a lot of us, I mean, I'm definitely no teen anymore, but I feel like myself, how I was 18, just a little bit wiser and more world experienced. I don't know, you know, like, but I'm still the same girl I was then. So I guess it's easy for me to crack into those feelings and memories. I don't know. It's a good fit for me. I enjoy it.
I enjoy your YA contemporaries. So
thank you.
Keep writing them. So, speaking of your writing, do you follow an outline or GC with a short leads? Yeah.
Plotting or pantsing?
Plotting or pantsing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I do both. I mean, I'm mostly, when I first started out, I was definitely I had to plot because I was like super scared about, oh my gosh, I've got to control everything and I've got to like have colored cards like put up on a board and know like every single move, like what's going to happen next. Got to plot out the entire book. Got to look up like how to do it. Now I kind of liken it to a road trip. Where like, you know, where you're going to start. Cause like here you are in your hometown and you know, you want to go to the Grand Canyon and that's the end of your journey. You know who you're traveling with and you know, like the first, you know, like, you know, generally how you're going to get there, but you're not going to plot out like every single place you're going to stop to like get gas or, you know, things happen on that road trip. You might hit a road that's like under construction or a rock slide, or, you know, you might get like chased off the road by some crazy trucker, or, you know, like things happen. You might have to kick out one of your travel companions because of a fight. Like, you don't know what's going to happen. And that's like the thrill of writing for me.
I love this. I love the comparison to a road trip. Like, you know where you're going, but you can actually just enjoy the process, enjoy the journey.
Yeah. And I think I try to let the characters drive because they're the ones who drive the plot instead of the plot driving the characters. They're the ones in the car, like steering everything. And when I can let that happen, then the book is much better because they're the ones making the decisions and dictating where the story goes. They're dictating where the trip is, where, you know, like each leg of the trip is headed. That's when it works better for me. Other time when I don't let that happen, then the book kind of goes off the rails.
I love this. So let's talk about Chasing Lucky. What was the source of inspiration for this book?
That came about when the seed of that first started was a couple of years ago, and I had seen something online where Chasing Lucky has, it has my protagonist, Josie, she does something where, she does something kind of pretty horrible that lands her in jail. At the beginning of the book. And she's in jail with the love interest of the book. And she kind of gets a little bit, little shamed in town. People know what's happened to her. When I got the idea for this book, it was because I saw a teenage girl online who had done something pretty horrible. But she got, she had a moment online where she was, you know, kind of publicly shamed and became kind of a meme or whatever. But people were shaming her for more than the act of what she'd done. And it turned into kind of fat shaming and slut shaming and other things and saying like horrible stuff. And all I could think was, it was just a cringe thing for me to think, this girl is, it, whatever she was, 17, 18, and, you know, and it just, it was just gone. It was there for a couple hours online and then gone. But I wondered how it stuck with her in her life and how it changed her. And that was the seed of the idea. And I just wanted to kind of explore what happens when, you know, we're all human, we all do stupid things. And how you kind of own up to what you've done, the mistake that you've made, and change and do better next time. But also when you have to face publicly the shame that comes with it. And I wanted to set it in a small town instead of the shame being online and have to face all the people around who kind of know what you've done. So that's kind of where that came.
I love it. And you had the world building. Like, even though the characters were really well developed, there was like this small town feeling, this whole world that was just like revolving around it, you know. And I assume your experience writing fantasy, even historical, give you that a sense of like, you know, world building is an important part of, you know, the story, driving the story.
Yeah. I always try to think of the setting as a character. Mm-hmm. That's really important to me. And I think maybe that does come with from my the fantasy, because I started out in fantasy. But I think I'm just, that's probably that tool came from that, is of the world building. But yeah, I love setting as a character, whether it's a small town or whether it's a fantastical world. It's all the same to me.
Yeah, I think it just, I don't know, it felt like an overall, like it felt like a full book of like, you get a sense of like where the characters were growing or where the character arcs were doing, but then also the small town feeling about it, that you didn't get bogged down, but you still felt like you were in a small town. You got to get a sense of the setting, get a sense of the people, the stuff, you know, that was going on.
Oh, well, thank you.
So let's talk about Lucky. So Lucky is bad boy, sort of, with a soft heart, and, you know, and they were childhood best friends, but they stopped talking to each other. You know, why pick this trope, like, you know, the childhood best friend to lovers?
Yeah, you know, I always end up with the childhood. I've done the childhood best friends to lover trope before. Mm. So I wonder why I keep doing that. I'm very attracted to that trope. I think that it must be because, you know, all of my YA contemporary is definitely very sex positive, and I think mm-hmm. that's one thing I'm known for. And it's not that my YA is like super like descriptive of every like single piece of the sex act, because it's not. And I sometimes have to kind of have a little fights with parents about that. And I'm like, just read it. You'll it's okay. You know, it's not like, it's not that bad. But it's more that I like to explore, I think all my teens talk about sex a lot, just like any teens would. And I think that I like to explore how sex is affected by when you know each other a lot, when it's not just two strangers who are like hooking up for, you know, like just the one time thing, when the friendship is actually there, when the relationship is established, I think it it's interesting to explore that. And I think it makes it more interesting and different when that relationship is there from childhood, because, you know, there's that different aspect when you knew them when they were 5 or 10, and you had a different relationship with them, you were friends, then, you know, it's a different, you know them from a different angle, and it makes things interesting. There's a conflict there. It changes the relationship a little bit. It adds something. And I like exploring that. So I think that's why that trope always keeps coming up.
I like exploring the trope because I feel like it's unique to the YA. Like, we may see it in some of the adult romance, but it's not as common as, you know, YA, where it's like they're best friends when they were children, and then something happens, you know, whether it's puberty or someone moves or something happens.
Right, where it's your breakup. You were friends when you were 10, and then you're not, and then, oh wait, the boy grew up.
Yeah, and it's like so like, and I love the fact it's like you're exploring a relationship with someone that knows your history. You know,
right?
You already have something in common.
Yeah, and I just think that's very, it's interesting. It adds a layer of complexity to things. It changes things. And I think there's just a lot of, I think it's a fertile thing to explore. It's just a nice complexity. It's fun to explore.
It is. It is fun to read. So just keep writing.
Okay. Yeah, I'll keep doing it.
So what are some of your upcoming projects?
Let's see. Right now I am in the middle of a second draft of my next book, which is called Always Jane. And that will be coming out. It's a YA contemporary romance, and it's coming out this time next year, so a year from now. And that is, it's about a girl. It's takes place in California, and it's a girl who's, it's kind of a class thing. A girl whose father is a chauffeur for a driver for a rock producer, and he takes his crew, his domestics, up to a vacation house by a lake in kind of middle California for the late summer, early fall, and she meets a boy who thinks that she's the daughter of the rock producer and not the daughter of the chauffeur, the rock producer's chauffeur. And she just goes with it. She just pretends that she is the rich daughter and not the poor chauffeur. So I have that. That's coming out. And then I also have two other things. I have Serious Moonlight is one of my older books that came out a year or so ago. It's getting a new cover, a really beautiful illustrated cover. That's coming out in January. And then I have two of my reader favorites, Alex Approximately and Starry Eyes. They are being put together into a bound up double feature called Hate to Love You. And that's coming out this next summer. And it's got a beautiful illustrated cover that is just like full of couples in love. And it's like just a joyous cover. It's wonderful. Oh, so gosh. I think that'll be a good thing for collectors who like my work. And then for people who've never read me, that's a great kind of value to have two books in one.
Yeah, I can't wait to buy them just to collect them. So
yeah.
I love this. So now let's go to writing book recommendations. It's an opportunity to share with the audience what they should read next. What is your favorite genre?
Genre, you know, probably, honestly, historical romance probably is probably the thing I read the most. That or fantasy.
I love this. And what has been a book you read this past year that you love?
You know, it's been a really, it's with the pandemic, I haven't read a lot of stuff and it's been really hard to read. And I've been starting and stopping a lot of books and the book that broke me out of my big reading slump was Piranesi. It's by Susanna Clarke, who wrote Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell. And so that was the book that it's a fantasy. It's about a man who's living in this maze-like house called The House. And he's doesn't know how he got there. He's kind of imprisoned in it. I won't say anything else about it, but I love her. She's one of my favorite authors, and that book just sucked me right in and I loved it.
I love this. And yeah, pandemic reading is real. Like, we're starting books where like the concentration is tough to break. So
yeah.
It's totally
but wrong. That one, when I finished it, and it was like I've got my nightstands full of like all these like books where I read like three or four chapters, and I just look at the stack and I'm like, it's not you, it's me. Yeah. All of these great books, and I just can't. But this one I finished, and I was like, yes, I finally broke it. Now let's read.
I love it so much. Tell us where you can find me online.
Online, you can find me on Twitter. Do you want it's Jen_Benn, JENN_BENN. And then I'm on Instagram, same Jen, but with the E as a three instead of an E, Jen_Benn with threes instead of E's. You can look me up. I'm on there. I'm easy to find, but I'm definitely on Instagram and on Twitter. And those are my two homes on social media.
I love this. Thank you, Jen, for being on the show.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support this podcast. Once you connect with fellow romance readers and make new friends, get weekly book recommendations, attend monthly meetups, then join our Patreon community. You can join at whatyourextblog.com/Patreon. Romance lovers, check out Queen Bee Reads Etsy shop for cute and comfortable bookish apparel. The shop also features social justice apparel and fun items from some of your favorite TV shows like The Schitt's Creek and The Office. Use code WHATTOREAD10 to save. Visit whatyourextblog.com/QueenBeeReads. What's Your Next Podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Discover new podcasts to love on frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What You Read Next Podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyourextblog.com/sponsorships. to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you so much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.